Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Wellspring Words, the podcast. This is your host, Nkem, and I'm so happy to have you back here. If it's your first time listening to this podcast, please know that it is a podcast focused on wellness, spirituality, writing, and creative expression. And yeah, the conversations that we have on this podcast are really very interesting, very deep. I personally created this podcast because I wanted to have deeper conversations with people in my life. And some of the people in my life were just trying to keep a surface level. So I was like, okay, I need to create a platform for myself to have these conversations. So if you come on this podcast, you know that it's going to get deep. It's going to get wide. We're just going to be able to go into the nitty gritty. But specifically when it comes to wellness or spirituality, writing, creative expression, art, all of those things, because there's like this interconnection, I believe, that exists between how we exist as creative beings and how we produce creativity in the world. So today we have an esteemed guest. All of our guests are esteemed. I love that. And I so intentionally handpick the guests, and I'm so happy to welcome our guest today, Ifunanya. So please welcome to the podcast and introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
Hello. Good day. Because people can be listening at different times, different places. So I'm Ifunanya. Ifunanya Chukwueke, actually, if I'm going to be very specific. It's always very tough for me to give an introduction because I'm a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But for the purposes of this podcast, I will, talk about how I am an artist and what I now call an empowerment engineer. That's the way I get to describe myself, because I spent a lot of time trying to figure out, okay, how do I put in a box? What can I be put in a box? Like, which is me, right? And one thing that I noticed is that in everything that I do, I am looking to empower people to empower others. So I'm trying to create a domino effect of empowerment,
right?
In order to build community. So whether I'm doing that through my organization, Jazz Hands, whether I'm doing that through a book that I wrote, whether I'm doing that through a song that I wrote, whether I'm doing that through mentorship, whether I'm doing that through organizing musicians, like no matter what I'm doing, I'm always trying to engineer empowerment in a way that whatever medium I'm using, the outcome should always be empowered people. So that's me. I am an empowerment engineer, and I do that through art. I do that through nonprofit work. I do that through education. And I do it through just interpersonal conversations and interactions.
Yay. This is so beautiful. I love that. I haven't heard that before. Empowerment engineer. Like, of course, it rolls nicely off the tongue, but it also has such a deep and beautiful meaning. And let me just give a little background about how I know you and like my perspective, because I think if people like know you today, there are all these amazing things that you have like in this box, non-box that represents you.
Yeah, right.
But before all of this, This woman is so passionate. This woman, she's another Igbo woman for anyone listening who's Nigerian, who's Igbo, who just is looking for someone who looks like them, who has the same kind of background as them and just wants to be able to do in the world what they want to do passionately. I think Ifunanya can be a really great representation of that. But before all of this, I remember like back in the days, like this is like 2010, like Facebook, like the Facebook time, and you created Her Diary. I don't know if Her Diary is still active or what's happening with Her Diary now, but it was this like really beautiful group of women from around the world, Black women. I think it was like, mostly African? And then it started becoming a little.
It was mostly African. Because it was a bit of an offshoot from Knitter.
Knitter, Nigerian Twitter, which was another Facebook.
It was on
group.
Facebook.
Yeah.
And then, women just wanted more space to talk more freely. And so that's where Her Diary came from. And yeah, so it started off just, was mainly Nigerians, then kind of Africans. And then, then we, just kind of branched out into the diaspora. So yeah. The group is not as active as it used to be. It was, I will say that we had a good like 13-year run though.
13 years. Oh my God. I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Yeah. Like 12 to 13 years, because it was 2011. We're in 2023. So like, it was like up until like the pandemic time.
Yeah.
So Her Diary, like, people have like met their best friends on there. Like, we've celebrated like people have gone from graduating high school to graduating from
med school. Yeah.
Like, so we kind of followed each other over time. Yeah. We tried to put it, to bring it to Instagram. Didn't quite work, but her diary's not dead. It's gonna, like, I just haven't figured out how best to take it from where it was to where it's gonna be. So that so is that is still in progress. But for right now, her diary is just right now just a Facebook group that is not as active as it used to be.
Right, like it's kind of like the it's on the back, it's on the burner, maybe not the back burner, and the heat is low, but it's still simmering, and it's still,
Yes,
and
it's still spring. Exactly.
yeah, and
Exactly.
I love that. I think this is a really nice transition kind of set. What's coming to mind for me is this idea of being a visionary and being able to recognize, like, to girl, let me just tell you, I'm really in awe of you, like. Genuinely, just how you live with such passion, with such presence, with such ability to like and capacity to hold. Girl, you got a smile. I see the smile. Like geez, you're like just like
I'm trying not to
percolating.
cry, so I'm trying to hold
Aw,
it. Thank you.
aw. Feel free to cry if you need to cry. You know, it's we need to hear this. We really need to hear this. And speaking of empowerment, like I'm all about empowering people, especially when it's genuine, you know. And yeah, like from the beginning, just the way you live, the way that you allow yourself to shine in this world. I don't know what kind of response you get from people in your own orbit, in your own world, but just know that there are people, me being at least one of the many, who see you and who are inspired by you. Not just, there's many layers of life that you live, right? So continue doing you, being who you are, and just like living fully, because this is what leadership looks like, genuine leadership, you know, this ability to have a vision. You know, like let's take her diary for an example. You have many other projects and things that you're working on, right? But to start something, right? To have that feeling of this thing needs to be started, this needs to happen, or this is what the community needs, and I will be the one to initiate it. I'll be the one to bring all of these aspects together and create this platform for people to have an experience, and then to moderate that, right? And then to see, okay, there's another iteration that needs to happen with this because we need to respond to what's actually happening in reality. And then, okay, so maybe things are kind of at a plateau, or maybe things need to be, but I can't work on that right now. I have to work on other things, but it's coming back. And then to not give up, right? To not say it's dead, it's not working, people are not this, or it's not that, or it's not meeting this vision or goal, and to understand that there's a transformation and a shifting always happening. So like the energy you, I feel like in the work that you do, the energy, you realize the energy never really just fizzles out or dies. It just needs to be transformed, which is a kind of death process, but it's a death and rebirth process. That's the way that I see it. I don't know if you have the same. Yeah, go ahead.
Interesting because, I can't say that I was thinking in the shower the other day, which is where I do all my best thinking and on the toilet. Just the bathroom in general is a really good place for me to think. But I was thinking, like I've noticed that every time I try to be innovative or this or that, it falls flat. The times when things take off and they happen to just be really impactful are times when I really just surrender and I'm present and I'm listening and receiving. I'm like, okay, move this way. And so I say all that to say that it sounds really beautiful when you like in hindsight, right? It sounds really nice, like, oh yeah, there's this vision. But I can't say that I had that when it was getting started. I just saw, oh, thing. Okay, go, do.
Start, right. Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, add this. Oh,
Right.
okay, add that. Okay, do this. Okay, this is where it is now. Okay, let me think about this. Oh, okay, here's an opportunity I just walked into without even knowing,
Right.
I can't say that it's me being strategic consciously. I would say it's a very mo my best work is done when I am not in the driver's seat, if that makes
Yeah.
sense. Like,
No, it does.
I have to surrender to, I'm Christian, so I have to surrender to God and his guidance and his leading. And then once I do that, it's always like on point.
It
But
always
it's
makes sense, yeah.
what makes sense, And so, it's very affirming to hear you say that, and I do appreciate that. The only part from that I would take is that, okay, maybe I'm just very good at being obedient. Maybe that's, yeah.
No,
So aside from
that's totally fair. That's
yeah.
totally fair. And I think it is really helpful sometimes. And it takes the pressure off of you as a human being, like your human self, to have to be the visionary. I mean, I'm still going to call you a visionary. I call myself a visionary, whether or not, as you said, I have the vision in my eyes, my physical eyes right now, or whether it's in my inner vision. And I don't have the full picture, but just following and allowing the vision to, allowing the fog to clear when it needs to clear, as long as the obedience is there, as long as the trust and the surrender is there, and the true listening is there, and not being distracted by all the world and whatever other people are doing. And I hope that, like, for those listening who feel, I mean, I'm hopeful that for those listening, you feel this connection between spirituality or your spirit self, or this like non-tangible things, the more sensitive side of yourself, and your creativity. Because the creativity doesn't just have to be art, right? Or it can be any type of thing that you create. You're creating in relationships all the time. You're creating your reality. You're creating based on how you choose your perspective to be in your life. So yeah, I think that's very beautiful. And it's a strong position to be in, but not easy. Not easy. I know that it's not easy.
It's not easy. You know, it's interesting because, like, I was on LinkedIn one day, and I kind of skimmed through. So there's some articles that I read in total, and some things I'm like, okay, I think I kind of get the gist of this. This is one of those I get the gist.
Yeah.
It was an article about a man, and, you know, like, I forget what it was. I don't know. All I know is that it was on LinkedIn, and this is an image that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was a metaphor of, you know, people seeing a man on a lion, a man riding a lion. And, you know, to the audience, people watching this man who was on the lion, like, oh my God, this person is so brave. They're so brave. Wow. Like, how did they do that? I'm so impressed, you know? But then the person on the lion is like, oh my God, this is every moment, every breath could be my last.
Right.
I'm about to die. Oh God. Oh, okay. I'm not dead yet, but I'm about to die this next moment, you know? So
yeah.
It's something like, oh my God, I can't believe, why did I get on this lion, you know? And so, you know, so it's interesting because, like, I will caution people that, you know, when they see somebody doing something that maybe they find to be impressive, to not see it as, oh, this person may just has it all together. No, actually, that person is likely very, very terrified. Like, being a visionary, being somebody who's what I call an iconoclast, somebody who's like going against the grain,
mm-hmm.
is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything in you wants to conform. Everything in you wants to just go with the status quo. But then also there's like another side of you,
a deeper part of you, much deeper, much stronger. Yeah.
It's like, ah, but I would not be comfortable. I would not be authentic. I would not be happy. I would not be full of joy if I was to just conform. I need to do this thing, but it's like, doing it scared. Going against the grain is a very, very terrifying thing. And it's not something that's terrifying once. It's like continuously terrifying.
No. Yeah. Because if you're someone who goes against the grain, you are a trailblazer. It's not like, I'm just going to do this one thing. I'm going to just separate myself in this one area. No, everything about you
everything
is a trailblazer.
About you, and it's like, just imagine. I mean, it sounds a little bit more morbid than it probably is in actuality, but it's like, just imagine, like, being terrified for so many decisions. Like, oh my God, like, I want to do this, but it's going to go against this thing, but
yeah.
Must, but yeah. I must,
but yeah. I must, please, oh please,
no,
I must.
I'm hell or high water. I must, you know.
I must,
like
right. literally, that was my favorite movie in high school for like 1 year. I don't even know. I had it. Someone burned it for me on a CD. And
don't say that loud because they come and get you.
Damn, I don't have it no more. I don't have it no more. Anyway,
yes. You know?
This thing about, like, yeah, there's an energy that comes with being a trailblazer. I mean, there's different ways that we can call it, right? People call it a cycle breaker, going against the grain, a trailblazer, like all of these things, with just being different, doing things your own way. And yeah, I had this feeling too in the past couple of years. And I do talk about astrology quite a bit on this channel. And for those who know or understand or familiar with Saturn return, I'm just like exiting pretty soon my Saturn's return, but I felt it very deeply. And it's this period of time. You don't have to even call it that. It's just a time in your late 20s, like before you turn 30, or just like late 20s, early 30s, like life is shifting, and it's shifting deeply and very fast. And you're learning a lot, and you're synthesizing a lot of information. And at the same time, you're making decisions about how things are going to, pretty big decisions about how things are going to move forward in life. And yeah, for me, it was a very deep and wide spiritual deepening, spiritual awakening, whatever. In this time, I recognize energy in a way that I have never before, which helps me now to understand how to live life in a more easeful way, that I don't feel like I'm just, like, I feel like I'm living from a deeper level when there's so much more wisdom there, as opposed to just like trying to do things from the surface level and meet people like eye to eye, like human to human, ego to ego. No, it's not always necessary to do that. But when it comes to being in this position of doing things differently, being a trailblazer, being a cycle breaker, there is, as you said, this fear or this energy that comes along with it that you have to live with for your entire life, because this is what either you signed up for before you came to this life, or what you have been, what gift has been given to you in this life before, or what you have inherited from your ancestors, and you move through the life with that. And so there's one way of looking at it, which is yes, the fear. But I do feel like, especially having emigrated from the US like 5 years ago and following this energy with me, and then like coming back to the US and leaving the US and living in the Western world, living in a different part of the world. And I recognize whenever I'm in the US or the Western world, I feel fear. It's the energy is fear. But when I'm in a different part, I'm like, no, this is creativity. This is deep energy. It's big. This is like exciting. You know, it's different, but it's still the same energy, just how I think about it.
It's so interesting. I forget, I watched something. I don't want to give any spoilers, but if you haven't watched Wakanda, the new one, just pause this here and like
Go
fast
watch
forward.
it. Or yeah, fast forward.
And it may not have been that. I forget what I was watching, but I was watching something, and no, it was not Wakanda. It was Atlanta,
Okay.
which is a very close second. Atlanta's the American Wakanda. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm watching Atlanta, which is my favorite show ever. Amazing. And something happened in the show. Like there was something in like in the show, something was said. Okay, let's just imagine. I'm gonna just paint a picture of like what I received from that portion of the show. Like say for example, like there's hands, like you're swimming over water, and there are hands that are like reaching for you, right?
From underneath the water.
Underneath the water,
And you're on the
right?
surface, yeah.
You're on the surface of the water, and their hands reaching for you. There's two ways that you can receive that. You can either receive it as they're trying to pull me, they're trying to harm me,
And pull me down, drown me, yeah.
or you can receive it as this is calling me to a different form. Like, and so it's kind of similar to what you're saying. Like that energy can be perceived different ways. It can either be
Absolutely.
fear, or it can be perceived as an evolution. And so it's interesting that you mentioned that. That's something that I have forgotten about it, but it's good. It's a good reminder right now. Like every interaction one has, I would say, is generally neutral, but what we attach to it is what becomes subjective. If that makes sense, like a
Yeah, it's like
person.
that's the story. That's the narrative that we hold on to, our bodies hold on to, right?
So, for example, if you walk into a room and there are dogs, if you're a dog lover, this like that's paradise.
Yeah.
Walk into a room and full of dogs, and you're a person who's terrified of dogs, then that is like the worst place in the world.
Right.
But
The dog's gonna be there. The
dogs gonna be
dogs are
there.
gonna be there. Yeah.
The elements and the context are the same. It's just your perception of that environment, of that context. And so I think it's important that that we recognize that our percept, like our points of view, are malleable. And literally, it's just like points where you stand in view. So you can always, if you want to shift your point of view, you just have to shift where you're standing and shift that thing. So yeah. So you just kind of to go back to what you were saying. It's one, yeah. Fear is one way to look at it, but I think fear comes like when we look at things as fear, it tends to come with a lot of other baggage, like anxiety, worry, and this and that. But if we look at something new as an opportunity, as opposed to something that is causing, like, eliciting a fear, and I think that we can completely change the way, like, we completely change our entire interaction with that thing, right? And I think that also changes the way that, it actually conserves a lot of energy. Fear uses a lot of energy. Like it's like a very costly, like way to perceive something. Whereas if you're perceiving something from a more positive perspective, uses a lot less energy and allows you to use that energy for other things.
Yeah, it's more creative, that energy. It's almost like when we are in that fear place, yeah, the energy is kind of just like it's like when a car, I don't know much about cars, but like the exhaust, and it's just like it's useless. It's expended from the car, but then it doesn't do anything. Whereas the other way is like, yes, I have this energy, I need to do something with it, I need to create something with it, I want to. And I am so mindful that maybe people are in a place of fear, or maybe we are in a place of fear in certain areas of our life, or we're about to be when we end this conversation and move through the cycles of life and what have you. And sometimes it feels simplistic to say, like, change your perspective. And it's
Yes.
all good. We can, and I think it's important that we say it in a simple way, so it's understood in a simple way. But we also understand that everyone has their own responsibility of what that means for them and how they change their perspective. And in that position of being able to be the one to change your own perspective and not need to, you know, be validated by an external source, Instagram or a therapist or this or that, to say, go ahead, you have the permission to change your perspective and look at life differently. There's so much wisdom and there's so much personal power and agency in doing that. And that is that deep act of creation, because then you say, oh, I can live differently. I can do it differently. You know, like I can make a reality or part of a reality that maybe no one else potentially agrees with in my circle, but I want to live that reality, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to change. It's difficult, right? Like there's that friction inherently, that tension that happens. But what happens when you have that friction and tension? What happens? I mean, for me, there's like a fire. Like it's like you strike the fire, and that's the passion that makes things. That cooks food, that makes things happen, that brings life to form, you know? So I want to know a bit about where you feel and how you feel your own wisdom coming through. And maybe you feel it's yours, or maybe you feel it's the wisdom that you get through your relationship with God. Or I'm just gonna say yours and just all of you, all the selves, all of your, you know, your wide, your big self, your God self and the human self. Like, how do you feel your wisdom come through, and how do you cultivate it and share it with the world?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think just kind of going back to what I said earlier, like every single time that I try to, like, first off, like, my best songs are never songs that I, like, sit down and actually carve out and find all the rhymes and this. It's like I'm walking and it just, like, really just falls on me. Like, it just comes on me and I'm just like, oh, yeah. You know, or like the book that I wrote, like, you know, it wasn't like I just really sat down and it just like I just was sit I mean, I was sitting down, this is true, but then it just fell upon me. I'm like, oh my God, it's like a bomb, you know. It's like a reflex, like a gag reflex, like, you know, like when you want to throw up, you can't control it, it just comes out, like, it's like that. So I would say, like, my wisdom, I feel most aligned, and I'm gonna equate that with wisdom as well. I feel most aligned when I feel like I'm open to being obedient. Where I when I when I can hear or see how I'm being led, or where I'm being, or feel that I am being led, like, you know, like, for me, like, my relationship with God is a really, really important part of wisdom for me. Like, I just there are things that I know that I never learned in a book. Like, there are things that people have studied for decades that I just know, like, I just know intuitively, because that it just came. Like, if people ask, oh, how did you know? I'm just like, I don't know, I had a dream. You know, I saw. And then I just knew it. Or I'm walking and I just knew. I just know. How do you just know? I just know. Like, I don't know. You know? So it's so I would say that a big part of, like, wisdom, like I said, comes from my relationship with God, and then also, like, experiences. But that also just ties into my relationship with God, because if I'm not understanding why something is happening, for me, I don't feel wise about that. Like, for me, it's wisdom is always either instantaneous or in hindsight, if that makes sense. It's like it's, I don't know if I can say that wisdom is something that I can work on. I think it's either I immediately have it from God, or, like, after my experiences have happened,
Reflection,
something reflecting, and then it just drops on me, like, oh snap, I see the whole picture now. Got it, you know. So I would say that's for me, that's where my wisdom comes from. It's just from my relationship with God in many different forms of it. Building upon what I just said, basically, like, for example, like, when I look at people, when I see people's situations, I don't just see the present, right? I'm able to see, like, steps several years ahead. I'm like, oh, I'll see how this happens. And then another thought is going to come out of, like, oh, this connects like this. Oh snap. Oh snap. And then I'm like, oh, I understand this thing that I've never experienced before, only because see that, and then, like, all this knowledge and, you know, information that I had previously just gathered haphazardly, then just kind of coalesce into, like, oh, this is this here's a very pithy way to describe this situation that you know, So that's also how it happens. But once again, it all just still surrounds my relationship with God and my ability to just listen and be obedient.
Right. No, that's huge. And I would add another thing to that is this aspect of believing that you are hearing what you're hearing, that you're seeing what you're seeing, that you're knowing what you're knowing. In my personal experience, I'm just finding my comfort in believing and sinking into my own believing that, yes, Kim, you have this connection to God, and it is so clear to you as though it is happening in your physical hands, except for it's not physical. So you have this this ability to experience beyond the physical. But can you believe that that is true? Can you believe that you don't need everyone to know that you have that experience for it to be meaningful and more and truthful to you, and for it to be powerful within yourself? And once you start, I mean, I would like to hear from your perspective, but it sounds like, and I think it's similar with people who do have that sense of connection. Once you start just believing, closing your mouth and believing, closing your eyes and hearing and seeing and trusting, that obedience, right? Like the way things work in your life is just, and that's the thing, it's beyond human capacity. It's because it's not human capacity.
I agree. And you know, it's interesting because as you were speaking, like what came to my mind is a scripture, right? So there's a scripture in James that says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And it's interesting because, you know, like when I heard that scripture back then and when I hear it now, it's that's the different ways that it hits my spirit. But what I hear, like over the last couple of years, I will say that I had a hard time believing in what I know. Like, you know, I have this thing where I'm like, but do I know? Especially going through like a program, like a doctoral program where like, you know, empiricism is really, really important and things that I feel like that had a really big effect on me. Because it's like, okay, how do I know that I know? And that question, as innocuous as it seems, is actually like a very insidious question to ask oneself.
Yeah.
Because, well, depending, time and place, context matters. But generally speaking, because that can cause a lot of doubts within oneself. And if you don't even know what you know, then how do you know anything?
Yeah.
Like everything becomes just a very, like an ever-shifting, like,
based on how the wind is blowing, based on what this person says and what someone else says. And
exactly. Yeah. And that's what the scripture says. It says, you know, the one, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. It's like you're anywhere and everywhere.
Totally ungrounded.
And it said, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And it's so true. That's so true. Having experienced that. And so like towards the end of last year and into this year, something that I've been practicing is like, but what if I'm right?
I love that.
Because I would spend a lot of time saying, oh, but what if I'm wrong? But it's like, no, but what if I'm right?
What if I'm right?
No, because I'll look around. I'm like, okay, nobody else is doing what I'm doing. Like nobody else is thinking this way. Nobody else is seeing this way. So I must be wrong. But it's like, no, but what if I'm right?
What if you're right? What if you're onto something different?
Different.
Yeah.
You know, just that short affirmation has just been really, really helpful
for
me.
I love that.
You know, it's like, what if I'm right? And like, okay, you know what? It helps me just like, it just, for me, like when my anxiety just starts building up, it just helps me be like, what if I'm right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if I am wrong, what if this is an opportunity to learn? What if a mistake is not the end of the world, but it's just an opportunity? So what if I'm making a mistake, what if I'm still right?
Yeah.
You know, what if I'm still in alignment? What if I'm still on the path? You know? And so that's something that I've been thinking a lot about recently, is just like to really just trust that I know what I know. And if I need to know anything differently, then I will know that when I need to know.
You had better say it again. Like,
yeah. No, just trusting that I know what I know. And if I need to know anything different, then I will know it when I need to know it. That's faith. And that's not easy.
That's the thing. That's faith. I was just gonna add that thing. It's about trusting, the trust, the surrender, the knowing that you will always be held, that you are held, you will always be held. Nothing has ever not worked out, right? And even in those situations, because in this world, we or the people around us or in our history, in our ancestry, it's a lot of travesty. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of faithlessness and fear. There's just so much of that that sometimes we are cultivating without knowing it. Sometimes we are around people who are cultivating it and it is leaking into our lives without us really knowing it. And that's not for us to be fearful of, oh, how do I, you know, isolate myself into one tiny little corner where I'm just with my pillow cushions and everything so nothing could touch me. That's not a way to live. Rather, it's if there is a capacity for fear, there must be an even bigger capacity for faith and for trust and for knowing that you are held. And the more, and actually, you know, I had this, just this thought this morning. You know, I was, as a business owner, as someone who's just like doing your own thing in your own lane, you know, you're just going to encounter so many different types of people. And then add on to it when the work that you're doing is from a very compassionate, empathetic, sensitive, creative, artistic lens. As we were talking about before we started the conversation, sometimes there's, you know, that line between professional and personal. Sometimes there's no line. Like sometimes the line just doesn't exist.
And that's the thing, you know, so what you mentioned, like I've been using the word soul work.
Soul work.
It comes from the soul. I mean, usually soul work means like, you know, it's usually like very like independent, introspective. But the way I'm using the word soul work is actually very external. It's like coming from your soul.
Right. And what you're bringing out.
And so it's interesting because like, yeah, like when you're doing that kind of work, one thing that you have to develop over time is boundaries.
Yeah.
These are so important. And when you're a very compassionate person or somebody who's predisposed to wanting to help,
yeah,
it can
attracts a lot of different kinds of energies into your orbit. Yeah.
And so another big thing I'm learning is that, you know, nobody can set your boundaries for you. That is your responsibility.
Absolutely.
Only you can identify them. Only you can set them, and only you can enforce them.
Yep.
You know, and just knowing that, you know, people are going to be all right. And even if they're not, you can just, all you can do is do your best. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just really important to, like, you know, set boundaries. And, but another thing I'm learning about life is that sometimes we can live in fear of like, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to get there. But it's like, it's kind of hard to learn things sometimes unless you've been there. Like there's some things that like, that you, I'm not saying everything happens for a reason, even though I don't believe in coincidence. But I think that there's, no matter what, like, once again, what if I'm right?
Mm.
What if even in this mistake, I am still right and I'm still on the path, right? What if even though like I have been somebody who is, you know, doesn't have very strong boundaries or maybe a people pleaser, like what if that experience has now taught me where I need to set my boundaries and where I need to, you know, be able to like pour into myself and please myself over, you know, others, or trust my intuition over like trusting what others say. Like, what if that experience was necessary for you to actually learn the locations of you know, of those needs, of your needs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one thing I want to mention is that, kind of going back to what we're saying about, you know, trusting that if you need to know something, that you will know it when you need to know it. You know, I think that also kind of leads into that as well, like to not be afraid to live your life and be authentic and at every point in form, because as you're doing that, you're going to learn and you're going to grow and you're going to be refining yourself and knowing how to protect yourself over time. Like, you don't have to like know everything today. Like,
yeah, absolutely. You learn as you go. Like, reflecting on my thoughts this morning, you know, that whole thing about in the soul work, how like sometimes there's no line between the personal and the professional, or like, you know, where to set the line, the boundary, or, you know, this, it's almost like an internal, people be loud outside, internal dogs, the power dynamic, and not a power dynamic of you need to do this for me, even if it's, you know, that kind of structure in some way, but the power dynamic of I'm going through something difficult and I'm not sure how to hold it. Can you help me hold it? That's one thing. I'm going through something difficult and I'm not sure how to hold it. Can you hold it for me? That's another thing. But where's the comfort in that? Where's the appropriateness in that, right? And we get to decide each and every day where we want to draw the line in the sand and where we want to clear it and draw it in another place too.
Another thing that I've been, that a big thing from last year was time and place. Time and place, time and place. Like, what does that mean? It's like the importance of context, right? I think sometimes, so many things in my brain. sometimes, like when it comes to setting boundaries, we like I can generally tell when somebody is very new to setting boundaries because they're like,
No. Everything. No, 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 no. And you're like, okay.
was like, okay, but you know, that's a very important step of setting
Yeah,
boundaries,
I agree.
knowing, using your like exercising your no. And then I think after a while, it kind of just like massages and settles itself. It's like, you know what? I know when
Yeah.
I say no. I
Yeah.
now know what my capacity is, because the thing, like, to go from being a very like open personal, like a people pleaser, to going to becoming a person who sets boundaries, it requires you to have felt, have probably have felt very like taken advantage of you.
Yes, you have this indignation, and it's a rightful indignation.
It's a rightful indignation, and that's okay. So have grace with yourself as you're saying, as you're becoming this very, very no person. And just know that after some time, it probably will melt itself, is melt its way into like, okay, no, depending on the context.
Yeah.
Because even the same situation in a different context, can you like you can have
Can have
completely
a
different.
different response. You can have a different capacity. Exactly. You have a different
Yeah.
capacity for it.
And so the activity of setting boundaries, I think that process is just like getting to know what your capacity is and knowing how to be flexible with that, you
Yeah.
know. So, but it's interesting you mentioned something about, you know, like when to carry people's burdens and when not to carry people's burdens and things of that nature. It reminds me of a scripture which I love. It's Galatians 6:2, and it's a and for a while I was like, huh, God, this is contradicting itself. Like, what does this mean? And then it dropped for me.
Think.
And so Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Verse 4 says, each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each should carry their own load. I said, what? But you used me to carry people's burdens. The one you say to be my load, I'm like, oh, two different words. Load and burden are not the same thing. Each person should carry their load. But if the load becomes too heavy to carry
Becomes a
by one
burden.
person, then you can assist them with their burdens, but you should not carry somebody else's load. Each person should carry their own load,
Yeah.
right? So you shouldn't come in, like, I shouldn't come and dump all of my load on top of your head
Right.
and then me carry nothing and you carrying everything.
Right,
Like,
right.
come and accept all of your burden on top of my head, all of your load on top of my head, and then I'm carrying your load and my load, and then you carry nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like each person should carry their load. Like, so, and I think that requires like one to be like, we do some self work and really understand what my load is, like what is my controllable column, or what is my not my controllable column. Understand your capacity, and then you can then be able to appropriately carry somebody else's burden when they have it. Because if you don't know your boundaries, then you're going to carry somebody else's load where that's not, you were not sent to do that. You were not sent to be a martyr, right? You were sent, like, you were sent to be a helper, maybe help somebody, but you were not sent to be a martyr. You're not supposed to
Absolutely
like,
not.
you know.
Right. And often in these situations, we have one party that may be unloading or putting their load and their burden on another because they have no boundaries. And that leaves them not necessarily not carrying anything, but open to carrying other people's too much. And then they come and they have this place where they unload and unburden onto another person. I have been that person, absolutely, in the past. Not knowing it, but I would find myself in the same conversation with another person close to me in my life. Same conversation year after year. Oh, this person I just met, like they just talk too damn much. Like they don't know when to shut up. They don't know. And why am I constantly in the same position of having to hear somebody talking too much without respecting that I'm in the conversation too? You know, at some point you have to you one has to just be like, okay, maybe the issue is me. Maybe I need to not put myself in a position where I am always complaining. Why? What am I always complaining about? Because if I'm always complaining about the same thing, then there's an issue. And what is the result of me always complaining about that? Not just me being dissatisfied, but where am I putting my dissatisfaction? Because it's not staying with me. I'm totally giving that to some other place, or there's another vice that I'm engaging in that is allowing me to escape from this dissatisfaction. And then yet, because I haven't set the boundary and the inner boundary, which is its self-discipline, right? To not to to face the burden, to face the thing that I'm not, to be able to close that door, close that gap, so I can have the sacred space for myself within myself, meaning that there's a point that the outer world can reach within me, and then after that point, there's no more. It's just me and myself and I, and nothing else can touch me there. And that allows for, all of the vices or the places where I would unload or unburden onto someone else who, in that respect, you know, they need to set their boundaries too, right? Like, it's kind of a cycle that we are in with each other. So I feel like when it comes to this scripture of holding other people's burdens, there's like that way of doing it, which is obviously unhealthy. And there's a way that we can definitely be able to have the capacity, the healthy capacity to say, I can be here for you. I can hold this space for you in this moment, or it seems like you need to just, you know, feel something. And I want you to be able to feel it right now. And when somebody is, you know, when you feel, I just have to, I guess I should speak for myself. When I feel like this is maybe crossing a little bit of a line, or I feel myself going back into my previous version where it's like, okay, now I want to start fixing them. Like, I want to start making life better for them. I want to start reaching into my inner bag of tools and resources and materials to try and help them. That for me is a no. I have to say no to that, you know, or like something more has to happen there, but it's not for, that's, there has to be an inner boundary in that place too.
You know, it's interesting because like you mentioned, like I found that whenever I feel like I need to fix somebody is because there's a part of me where that same exact issue exists in high volume. So say, for example, it's like, oh, this person's always talking so much about, you know, they're coming in and dumping on me. I'm like, I have to sit down and be like, okay, who am I dumping on?
And that's exactly, and that was my situation. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, and then mirror. Why do I, like, you know, because I found, and some people will not agree, but I believe this very, very wholeheartedly, is that the things that we dislike in other people are things that we hold in high volume. Like we too have those things. That's why we dislike them, because we're seeing ourselves and we don't like it. Of course, there's some cases that are a little bit extreme, you know, like, of course, like, if I see somebody who's shooting somebody,
we're not talking about that. That's like, you know, there are things that are just, yeah, but we're talking, yeah. And we know the feeling, right? Because it's an inner dislike. You get the sense, it's a shame. It's a shame that we feel. And we project that shame outwardly as anger, as distaste, as criticism, as any of those. It's like the nitpicky that turns into holding a grudge, you know, like all of those things. But those are all inner experiences that we have within ourselves. Yeah.
I agree, you know? And so I think that when it comes to setting boundaries, I think the first step is just to really, I was planning on writing this book one day, like the beginner's guide to like escaping people pleasing is by to start use something that you already know how to do, which is say yes. But instead of saying yes to other people, say yes to yourself, right?
Right.
It requires one to just really, like, right before you're going to say yes to somebody else, really sit down and think about, okay, how do I feel about this thing? Like, how am I feeling about this, you know, about this decision? And instead of saying, oh, no to the person, just like, you know what? I'm going to say yes to myself because this is not safe for me. So I want to feel safe.
Yeah.
So say yes to yourself. And I think it makes it a little bit easier to say no to somebody else, especially somebody who's just learning how to set boundaries. Like, just start by saying, because you already know how to say yes, be saying yes anyway. Yes, people anyway. So why don't you say yes to yourself? Why don't you consider yourself a person that you can say yes to as well?
I think that's beautiful. And I think it goes in line with the but what if I'm right thing. And I also really want to mention this aspect of the somatic experience, or the body's experience, the experience of the organs, the experience of the way that blood moves through our body, and what our muscle tissues hold, and what our fascia holds. Like, the stories that our bodies physically hold sometimes, and I totally agree with you. But for my own experience, I'm thinking of this fact that, like, when you're coming from a place of being overly open to being in a place where you can control that beautiful, gorgeous capacity of love and compassion and empathy, because it is beautiful. It is not something that we should be scared of. Like, let's not make the boundary setting be something that we need to fear ourselves and fear how there for others that we are. It's a gorgeous thing, but it needs to be used appropriately, because unfortunately, subconsciously, it's something that can be taken in. And we've seen that, right? But it's something that we have to do every day, almost in every moment, almost in every relationship, and especially the relationship with ourselves. But in that, sometimes there is the reaction from the body when you have a dysregulated nervous system, or you have some trauma, whether there's what you consider like extreme trauma or smaller traumas. All trauma is trauma, right? And the body holds on to it. And as human beings, we all live through trauma, and we hold that in our bodies. It's just part of being a human. It's what we do with that, or how we categorize it, or, you know, the kind of stories we create around that trauma, or those experiences or stress responses that take us forward. And I know, I'll just give like a real life example. At some point in my life here in Mexico City. I was like in this community with certain people that on the surface, on paper, wow, amazing, looked great, even felt great. But when I stepped away, I realized this is just reminiscent of the ego-driven, like highly masculine, highly fearful mentality that I was living in before I moved out of the US or before I moved, you know, did my overseas thing. And even still living overseas and living in different countries, I mean, you don't escape it. I'm not just trying to say that America is messed up and everywhere else is perfect, because that's not true. It's just that I get to not have that same experience because I'm not indigenous to different places as I am to America, you know? So yeah, I felt that within this particular community. And I decided I was going to just break away from this community. And I didn't know how to announce, and do I need to announce, and all of these things. And, you know, that's also a very self-centered thing. Like, girl, people are living their lives. Ain't nobody care about you and what you're doing. So I stepped away and I did my whole thing. However, there were some people who, I guess they did care, or they did feel the impact of me not being in that community anymore, because I said nothing. I just went about my own business and said, I need to step away from this because this energy of fear does not align with me in my life and how I move forward and what I need for myself to feel peaceful in my life. And there was one particular person who, again, there's a difference between what happens on the surface and then what happens subconsciously. And that subconscious stuff also ties into what the body experiences and all of the memories that are held from different interactions that you've had in the past, you know, with other people in your life, that if those are not healed, then they show up in different people. So yeah, there was an experience of bullying. What I felt was bullying that I had experienced for a long time in different instances since I was a child up until recent. And I saw it and I felt it with one particular person. And it was a big fuck no for me. But the fuck no was, I could say it with people in private, like, oh, hell no. But could I say it in their face? Did I need to say it in their face? Was it important for me to say? See, these are all external questions that happen to support us in giving our power away instead of support us in holding on to our power. None of that matters. All that matters is that I feel safe in my own body. So when I remove this person from a group chat or delete their number, what was happening in my body was profuse sweating, my heart beating as if someone was like coming to rob my house or murder me. Like, it was intense and insane. And that was a buildup, I believe, of all of those instances of bullying, of tearing me down or trying to strip away my shine or trying to make me invalidate me, humiliate me, make me look stupid, that I experienced for a long time, decades of my life up until recently, that I was kind of eradicating or healing or shattering or whatever with that one action of like removing this person from a group chat, which on the surface, it sounds like it's just a boundary that I'm setting and everything is fine, but it was extremely difficult for me. And my body told me that it was that difficult. I want to honor, you know, people's experiences of, because when you're someone who has this beautiful capacity for empathy and for holding space and for giving and for creating spaces for people to feel safe, you are a highly sensitive being in most cases. And because you're highly sensitive, it's not just highly sensitive in the mind and what you're able to create and what you're able to vision and bring to life. It's highly sensitive in the body and all of the things that maybe others in the world who don't feel like they have access to that sensitivity. Maybe they don't have to deal with that, or maybe they do, but it's their own journey. But usually we are feeling it in the body and it's deep and we feel everything. So it's just important to know that that's part of the process of like setting the boundaries and returning back to self. And if you choose yourself and say, what does it feel like for me to be safe? Include the body in that healing process too.
The somatic experience is a very big part of boundary settings and to have grace with oneself.
Yeah.
And to listen, you know, like lean into, to, you know, to those somatic feelings, those feelings in your body, you know.
It's the truth, right? They don't lie. The mind can lie.
And then, but then there's also the possibility of somebody who has spent a lot of time, people pleasing is what I'm going to call it. They may not even know when their heart rate is up.
Yeah.
When they're anxious, so when something makes them feel uncomfortable. So I guess the question is how does a person who doesn't necessarily know that about themselves to begin to like recognize that?
Yeah. That's the self-inquiry, right? It's the self-awareness and start to like reflect and maybe document what's happening in certain cases, certain spaces. It's not a an overnight process. It can be a years long, decades long process of understanding who we are, understanding our load, as you said earlier. What is the load that we're carrying? What, who are we? What is it that we are within? What is the state of our being? And once we start to understand the natural state of our being, then we could start to see how does the world affect or influence my natural state, right?
And, you know, I definitely agree with that, you know. So I think, yeah, boundary setting is not, is a, it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's something that's actively work on, and it's contextual. And so, you know, I don't think that there's like a set formula, but it's just like, you know, just, I would say just like we said, just listen to you, try to listen to your body more, and you know, say yes to yourself more often. And before you know it, you'll kind of get the hang of it.
Right, and then the world responds to that. I think something that's been helpful for me is to have cats. Now I have cats, two cats, and they are masters at boundary setting because they want it. They want to cuddle when they want to cuddle. They don't want to cuddle, and it could be like nanoseconds apart, like touch me, don't touch me, you know, or like they want it in certain ways. And there's no negotiation about, that's the thing, no negotiation about the boundaries that they're setting. And it's not because I'm trying to hurt you that I'm setting these boundaries. However, if you cross my boundary and you continually cross my boundary, I will pull out my claws primally, instinctively, and I will scratch you because I'm trying to protect myself, because I need to protect myself before I can do anything in this life, in this world. There's nothing that, you know what I mean? The cats taught me that, and I take it for real. Here's the description for that. I love that.
Man, shot, man. I'm trying to tell you.
Shout
man.
Out to the Bible.
To the Bible, man. I'm trying to tell you, man. Like Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's a scripture about boundaries.
I swear.
It didn't say somebody else would come and guard your heart. It said you guard your heart. So once again, boundaries are, while they are a journey and they are a process, setting boundaries are a journey and a process, they are still each person's responsibility to
right.
So discover what the boundaries are, set those and enforce them.
Like, and enforce, honor them. Yeah. It can be a joy. I see it as a joy when I set my boundaries, especially. So like you were, I mean, we're going to wrap this up soon. It's just really a nice conversation because I think we're both like in a similar space of like understanding our boundaries, understanding what we need, placing our boundaries out in the world and honoring them. So that's why we can go so deep into it. But just highlighting once again what you said about this early moment in this journey of setting boundaries, where sometimes it just feels like awkward, or it feels like really like it doesn't fit, right? It doesn't fit with your external circumstance. And we can be thankful. I will say this. We can be thankful that when we set and honor our boundaries within ourselves and externally, the external world changes around us. And there will be people that fall off. And this is nothing revolutionary. It's nothing new. It's just kind of saying it again for us, those who need to hear it, including myself. People will fall off, situations, opportunities that they were, but they're no longer opportunities because you're in a different space altogether because you're prioritizing yourself, your peace, your heart, all of that stuff. But then some very beautiful relationships will start to emerge, some very genuine and beautiful interactions that you can feel safe in and say, no, this is something that I can see going long-term. Not that I have to fight for every step of this relationship or this interaction or this job because I'm just trying to make it through because I'm going against my inner self in order to make it happen. So it is a joy once we get past that initial stage and can develop the inner strength to say, okay, well, it really wasn't meant for me because I need to trust myself. We trust ourselves. We trust the peace. The peace starts to build. We start to get new beautiful experiences in life. The peace builds even more. It's just that initial stage, right? And it could take a while or it could take no time at all. It just depends on how, I think, willing we are to trust that everything is going to work out for us.
I agree with that. Yeah.
So beautiful. Oh, I love this conversation. I needed this today on this Monday.
Yeah, definitely. Like boundaries have been a very, very big thing. Like I mentioned that that's my goal of the year. So this is a good conversation to kind of on the day before the last day of the first month, I think is a good conversation to enter the rest of the year with.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when this is published, you'll listen to it again and be like, oh, yes, Proverbs, what did you say, 4? You know, yeah. Like.
You know what I'm saying? Let me say about my Bible, man. The Bible will be coming through for you, girl.
I'm telling you. And I'm thankful that you brought that in. I'm thankful that you brought that in because it's useful. It's helpful. And it's like, you know, bringing that extra wisdom and insight And the way that we're able to use the Bible to support our conversation is, I never thought that I'd be doing that. Not because I'm against the Bible or anything, but it's just not something that I thought. But I think that is beautiful and I'm happy that we did it. So thank you so much for that, for your, what is the word? I mean, texture is coming to mind, but it's like, the ability to have conversation in different kinds of ways and to bring different things and capacity and range, like I felt kind of like there's a dance, we're like dancing this conversation. So it's been beautiful just to be in this space with you and talk about these really meaningful, important things that we are living through at this moment. This is not theoretical. This is real life for us at this moment that I know those listening will have resonance with. So thank you so much, Ifunanya.
I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah, me too. I look forward to editing in the whole process. But is there anything that you want to share with the world about what you're doing or, any last words that you want to share with the people where you can
Well,
be found if you like to be found?
so the best way to reach me is to visit my website, which is ifunanyangweke.com, and then you can also learn more about my work through at my organization at jazzhandsforautism.org. Yeah, anything else, you can find me on LinkedIn, ifunanyangweke, and if I need to connect you with any other of my other
Yeah.
I will connect you then.
Yeah, exactly, right. Start somewhere and branch off.
Let's go straight through there first.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much. And thank you everybody for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope there were some nuggets, some gems for you in this episode. And yeah, stay connected with us on Instagram at Wellspring Words. You can also send us an email at bewell@wellspringwords.love. We have so many things going on that really help us stay inspired and connected in this place of personal power, personal peace, from the digital anthology through this podcast, through our writing workshops, writing fellowship, one-on-one coaching or courses. Like it's all about maintaining this frequency of creative abundance from a place of inner strength and wisdom. So thank you for listening and catch you in the next episode. Take care.